Good evening, dear ones. What a joy to see each of your faces on the screen. Welcome to each of you. So we join in holy remembering once again, affirming that there is light, there is time, there are laws, and there are possibilities. There are possibilities to fulfill each of our destinies in this great mosaic known as the body of Christ. So that is why we light the candle in honor and in remembering that these possibilities exist as the Christ who came into us and for us. By lighting it, we call upon the conscious circle of humanity to gather with us and inform us. In the name of God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. May we always remember that we are beloved of the Father, in the Son, through the Holy Spirit. So we begin our this evening in celebration of someone who is very much alive with us, and that is Cynthia Bourgeau, whose birthday is March 13th, 1947. Cynthia is currently offering an online course for Lent entitled Mystical Hope Today. She began the course by citing Ecclesiastes, as does this week's email, only she quotes, "Lord, what is there to hope for today?" And then she goes on and says, when we clear the decks of illusory hope, outcome-oriented hope, emotional hope, conditional hope, based on things going my way, we come upon miracle of miracles at the root of our being, a wellspring of life, bubbling up as a mysterious infusion of strength and joy. It is not illusory. It is not fragile. It is not contingent. It is not destructible. It is in you already, awaiting only your homecoming. That's where we're headed in this Lenten journey together, straight into that homecoming, the way of the heart that can lead us beyond fear, beyond despair, to those true wellsprings of new beginning, both for our own lives and for our beleaguered world. We honor and are grateful for you, Cynthia, for your loving presence, your very much alive, courageous, bold, and hopeful presence in our time. And somehow that message struck me as being the essential message of the entire work. It is bold, it is real, it is possible. So may we all know that with every fiber of our being. Just a note also this evening that I'd like to bring to your attention again, excuse me, that there will be another introduction to the work class that begins this coming Wednesday night via Zoom this time. And it will be held for 6 Wednesday nights, March 15th to April 19th. If you are new to the work, or even if you're not so new but could use a refresher, it is being led by Donald Janung and Marnie Haliska. So I urge you to attend and know that you will be deeply blessed by understanding the work and some of its language that will inform all of the emails to come and all of your studies of the work. You can register online. There is no cost, or you can call the church office. So once again, we prepare ourselves for conscious participation, knowing that our presence here matters, how we come matters, how we participate is what we are emanating into the group as we are creating a vessel that is capable of receiving higher influences. So we place ourselves with intention and imminent trust and receptivity to all the influence that are streaming from the conscious circle of humanity. And we prepare to receive them with great valuation. With back upright, heart open, mind quiet, and directed attention. Relaxed, noticing perhaps, and then releasing all tension, constriction, resistance. We breathe in deeply all every most hidden part of our being, all being, everything. Everything that passed through this day, our world today, everything that hurt, that confused, that created fear, that brought heaviness, that left us feeling powerless, less than, more than. Everything. Everything that uplifted, that loved, that brought joy, all affirming, all denying. And we hold it as offering, reconciled as food for being. We lift it to ask that it all be transubstantiated in our being as whole, as lovely, as radiant, as beloved of God, as we ourselves are beloved of God. We do this on behalf of everyone and everything. And we breathe out this healing light into the world, all worlds. I hand over all complexities. I hand over all plans. I hand over all anxieties and the small fears of my heart. I open to the divine human life. I am here. I am. I wish. I can work. I stand unencumbered before God and one another. And so it is. And we enter into the time of Lectio Divina. And we will share a passage from today's email. It will be read 3 times. You're invited to take it in as food, along with the impressions from the image. For everything, there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. We live under the law of time, with its tentacles related to life and death, growth and decay, cause and effect, each of us connected to possibility and destiny. There can come a time when our eyes are opened and we come to realize that mercy is infinite. We need only await it with confidence and receive it with gratitude, for mercy imposes no conditions. And lo, everything we have chosen has been granted to us, and everything we rejected has also been granted. Yes, we get back even what we rejected, for mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and bliss shall kiss one another. It can contract down to an instant where the entire meaning of a lifetime's journey of the heart is conveyed in the single glance of an eye. Gradually, one learns to pay attention to convergences that emerge seemingly out of nowhere with exactly the right timing and force. More often than not, they announce a different order of reality, a new world. For everything, there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. We live under the law of time with its tentacles related to time, to life and death, growth and decay, cause and effect. Each of us connected to possibility and destiny. There can come a time when our eyes are opened and we come to realize that mercy is infinite. We need only await it with confidence and receive it with gratitude, for mercy imposes no conditions. And lo, everything we have chosen has been granted to us, and everything we rejected has also been granted. Yes, we get back even what we rejected. For mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and bliss shall kiss one another. It can contract down to an instant where the entire meaning of a lifetime's journey of the heart is conveyed in the single glance of an eye. Gradually, one learns to pay attention to convergences that emerge seemingly out of nowhere with exactly the right timing and force. More often than not, they announce a different order of reality, a new world. For everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. We live under the law of time with its tentacles related to life and death, growth and decay, cause and effect. Each of us connected to possibility and destiny. There can come a time when our eyes are opened and we come to realize that mercy is infinite. We need only await it with confidence and receive it with gratitude. For mercy imposes no conditions. And lo, everything we have chosen has been granted to us. And everything we rejected has also been granted. Yes, we get back even what we rejected, for mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and bliss shall kiss one another. It can contract down to an instant where the entire meaning of a lifetime's journey of the heart is conveyed in the single glance of an eye. Gradually, one learns to pay attention to convergences that emerge seemingly out of nowhere with exactly the right timing and force. More often than not, they announce a different order of reality, a new world. And so it is. I invite you, as you are moved to do so, to share what you received from this passage, perhaps from the silence or the image. Good evening, Karen.
Good evening, Marianne and everyone. Well, first of all, what struck me was that fabulous image. I mean, it was just, it struck me as so full and poignant in many ways. The colors, the energy, the movement of light, the symbols of the triangle and the circle, and it just kind of goes on and on, like the cosmos. And for me, in looking at last week's work, the main feature that stood out to me was this thing called, what is my chief feature? And so I looked at using reoccurrence, using my learned awareness of paying attention to my trauma centers and how many eyes were generated from looking at that experience and how they still affect my thinking and can be blocks in my, you know, daily life. And my aim is, I no longer need those chief features for protection. I no longer really need those for recognition. I no longer need those to belong And especially what I noticed is that that desire to want to belong is so strong that I will jeopardize myself and others to belong to something that I no longer believe. Wow. And, you know, I'm just so appreciative of the lessons that you bring to us and help me travel from where I was to where I'm going. And I'm very grateful to see the positivity that has arisen in my life. And I've seen that as in the reading that you had, that I self-observe and I wait. And waiting has been, you know, just a marvelous gift of practicing being open to receive. And I notice all those little connections that come to me because with the magnetic attraction of what God has actually giving to me, where I could not accept them before, but I can accept them now. And they're just ever present, and I feel so warmly loved and received. Sounds like a lot of gratitude. So thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you. Melba, please. Good evening.
Good evening. And everyone, hello. The first thing I noticed was as you read the reading, I just got hotter and hotter and hotter to the point of perspiration. Mm-hmm. And I have the air on and everything. I wasn't hot to begin with. But I think what it was is that your words and what I was feeling was how lucky. I mean, how like ecstatic I am, because I feel that the words captured what I have felt from the moment that I was introduced really to the church, but mainly the work. I love the work. It speaks to those tissues. The music that you were playing in the beginning, there's something magical about the experience of my life since I've been converging with the Conscious Harmony work and the church and the people and the music and the movements and the groups. It's it's like an answer to a prayer. Yes, definitely a depth that it touches, but it invigorates me on a level that I haven't felt in a long time. I feel younger and freer and more, I feel more grateful and more in awe. I just feel this like zest. I don't know if this happens to new people, but everything is holy. It's profound. And I'm getting a way to articulate and see the connections. I love the concepts. They help me integrate as a human being all my, you know, the diversity of my experience and aches and pains and life into an octave, a chord that I really wasn't, that had kind of slipped away from me in a way. I don't think thank you is big enough to communicate the honor and beauty that I've experienced. Thank you.
We'll just say all glory to God, Melbourne.
All glory to God.
Amen. So if we are really quick, Howard and Gay will end our sharing with the two of you.
Very good, and I will be quick. The part that stuck out at me, or the phrase that stuck out at me in this reading and this morning in the email as well, was that mercy imposes no conditions. And I thought how perfect that is. When mercy comes, there's nothing tagged onto it. It's just grace, mercy and grace. And what I thought of too with your reading tonight was about possibilities and how many possibilities can come from that mercy that is really, I'll say sometimes, but really always received. And so that's all I have. Thank you.
Wow, that's very sufficient. Thank you. So Gay, I see you stepped off. Maybe you could step back on in just a moment when we do sharing from our homework. But right now it is my joy to introduce a woman of the work, Mimi Conroy, who will accompany us in our sharings and introduce us into new realms of living time. Welcome, Mimi.
Hello. I've got a whole thing that I kind of want to do this comedy skit with elder people in Zoom. But I digress. So we spent a week now playing with the idea of living time. And we were asked last week, one, how are you now using your life's time? Two, where is time just slipping by, perhaps even being wasted in relation to your aim? Three, how are you forgetting that time is a factor, living as if it's always going to be there for you? And then we're reminded in the season of Lent, which is not ordinary time, is extraordinary time. As Tim Cook, co-founder of the Church of Conscious Harmony, used to say, work as if your house is on fire. Another way of saying that is the work aphorism, time is a factor, or the monastic wisdom saying, make haste slowly. To what are you giving your attention this Lent? And I would also ask at this moment that all of us sitting in our rooms spread all over the country, maybe the world, we are in a convergence of sort in this night. And how would any of us have known back into our lives that we would all be sitting here with each other in the convergence of all of our energies lighting up? So let's keep, while we're playing with time tonight, let's keep the idea of this school, the container that these miraculous things are happening and people are feeling. And so who has, we had some wonderful sharing in our journey group. So I imagine they were all like that. So let's go. Pam, hi.
Good evening. Well, I feel like there was the convergence between the work I did the last couple of days and the reading tonight, when it talked about there comes a time that your eyes are opened and you realize that mercy is infinite. Because as I was thinking about the horizontal timeline of our lives, I was thinking about the things that I no longer can do, or if I do them, it really hurts, or it takes a lot longer to recover, or whatever. And I know I'm not alone in that. And it's a very natural process on that horizontal timeline. But then there's a vertical timeline. And I've spoken before about, I've thought about that's a convergence of effort in the work and grace meeting up there. But I also realized that because of that vertical timeline, I see in myself and other elders in our community that there isn't any disillusion. There's no death. There is only going deeper and reaching higher along the way. And what an incredible blessing that is. And I see it in the eyes of so many of the people that I've loved over the years and new people. But I also hear it in my, you know, in my work partner and in my journey group. And it's that vertical time that is such an incredible gift to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Hello, Kay.
Good evening, Mimi and everyone. I'm going to try to tie in what I was going to say a moment ago. This is not really what I was going to share tonight, but it seems to all fit together suddenly, as, you know, almost anything I can talk about ties together with the idea of time. So I was a little baffled by the part in the reading that said, even what we have rejected, we get back. Mm-hmm. By the second reading, I was tying that in with an experience that I had this week, actually the last 2 weeks since we've been talking about time. I came into the work quite a while ago, and I came in carrying a lot of resentment and unforgiveness for a particular person that had been in my life for a good many years. And it soon became evident in doing the work that it was very important for me to work on forgiving this particular person, which I have done over and over and over again through many workshops and books and so forth. I have realized at the level that I could realize it, that this was something that had really driven my life for a long, long time. And it probably ties in like, well, what Karen was talking about with my chief feature. Sometime this week in during times of reflection, in going back into the past, during the time that I was living with this particular person. And by the way, I had thought that I had given up a lot of this resentment over the years, and I suppose I had. But this week, it seems that God felt that I was ready to really go deeper with that. And that now ties in with that which I rejected is being brought back into my life in a transformed way. Yeah. I could feel into this person at an incredibly deep deep level with compassion and love. And it's the first time I've really experienced that feeling, because I really feel like that long standing resentment became not just toward this person, it became something that really drove my life in a terrible way. So I know now that this process of forgiveness is bringing that which I rejected into a different light, the light of God's love. And there's probably a lot more. There's probably a lot more I haven't experienced yet, but I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you for that clarity. Thank you. Tammy, is that right? Yeah.
Thank you, Mimi. And hello, everyone. My work this week with time has just built upon the start of Lent, when we had the reading of Jesus going into the desert and being tempted, and the shared common humanity of those temptations of security, esteem, and power. And I've had the occasion in my work and my personal life to self-observe a lot, the time to spend in self-observation around my own temptations and loss of force in those three particular areas. And what I have found is the John of the Cross message too, that when we don't think we have enough time, double it.
Yeah.
That has come into play for me this week, this past week. And I'm really immersing myself in a lot of the work this year compared to last year. Journey School, Wednesday night, the Lord's Prayer, working with a work partner for the first time, meeting three times a week, and just really immersing in the work, and have found that the reward of that, and recognizing my use of time, what I thought that I had to strong arm into some change in Lent, really felt like that mercy that tonight's reading is speaking of, just is meeting me with much less effort than I thought it would take. And diving into the commentaries and looking at the over time, the recurrence of some of those patterns of my need for security, esteem, and power, and really being able to let go of some of those patterns in a new way. So it's been a fruitful experience for me this last week.
Thank you for your clear and concise reporting.
Thanks.
Thank you. Good evening, Jim.
Good evening. The email on convergence, I think, has helped me to see that Peter's introduction of holy remembering as our theme for this year has served as kind of a convergence for me, as I've been working on a spiritual autobiography, and it was wearing me out, and I just didn't feel like it was really accomplishing what I hoped it would accomplish. And Peter's discussion of going back and taking episodes in your life and writing about them as encounters with the Lord helped me to reframe this whole thing. And now I'm really pretty excited about it. And it's breaking down into pieces, and encounters with God through people, encounters with God through churches, encounters with God through communities, through prayer, through centering prayer, and through nature, you know, there have been various places along the line in my many years where some of these things became more important to me. And I began to, if I didn't understand at the time, I understand now that these were avenues for me to encounter God in my life. So I'm seeing our theme of holy remembering being a convergence, kind of a, what is that, third force, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Getting me off the dime and getting me moving forward. So that's...
Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome.
Oh, Kelly, hi.
Hi, Mimi. Hi, everyone. I wanted to share how having a work partner and journaling this year has shaped my sense of time. And I was really afraid to have a work partner. And it's been the best thing. It shapes the day in a way that I never experienced before. And in writing about it every night, as a review of the day, I see how at each step the work shows me what is next. And even just taking the pen in hand and saying, you know, help me with this process, whatever the aim is. And there is help. And so I just want to put a plug in for having a work partner and how wonderful it is, and how it creates a container that makes each day feel like a delight, whatever comes. And I feel all the work of everyone helping with that. So
yeah,
so grateful.
It's just, you know, the idea of being in a community. I don't know if y'all have noticed, but we're all kind of a little bit unusual in that, you know, we choose to be students of life until the day that we, you know, and I can't talk about this enough. And so having work friends, having a journey group, really reinforces us speaking the language. One, it's really very important for all the new people that you speak the work language, because the words are not common words that we use, so that they don't have a lot of negative connotations, okay? And it would be better to speak the work and not get it right than not speak the work at all. So with our work partners, we can, you know, play that way with just another person. And then in our journey groups, that's where I go out. Now there's a few more people and it's a little bit more scary, but I walk it out. And this time, someone in my group has something that just lights it up for me. Because we're all here just walking each other home. You know, I'm an old timer. And I've got new friends that I just love so much. So please talk to each other. It's important that we speak this beautiful language we've been given. So thank you so much. So good to see you. Well, Miss Jackie Powell, is that Lee next to you? Hi, Lee. Jackie, I think you went back off, dear. on your microphone. There you go.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I'm using the homework assignment, how are you now using your life's time? And I looked back to find out why I have always been real hyper about getting things done, doing it right, in a hurry. And it stems from being the oldest of seven children and two alcoholic parents. So I felt like I was the parent of everybody there. So this week I've worked with my aim, which is I wish to keep a vision of recurring events, to self-observe the mechanical habit of overthinking a situation that I have acquired over my lifetime, and observe that most God actually lies, to non-identify by knowing that those eyes are not I, and to remember God for his love and direction in my life. May I find the truth of my being by working as if my house is on fire. Amen.
Amen. Well, I really appreciate, I wrote a few things down, so thank you. And now, let's just jump right in. How about it? All right. So as I was putting this together, I thought the most important thing in speaking of this is our endeavoring to self-remember. What is self-remembering for us right now? It could be the sensation of us sitting here and listening. I'm listening with my intellectual center. I can feel my feet on the floor and my butt in the chair. You can wiggle a little bit. And by doing that, I've couched my two centers, the moving center and the intellectual center, and can feel more readily my emotional center. And so if that could be our aim, not if, let's let that be our aim as we listen to convergence. And it's a very interesting subject. So part of what I'd like to start with is my aim every day is to remember where I stand is holy ground. Where I stand is holy ground. Where I stand is holy ground. It helps me to ground myself, and it helps me to remember that in the vertical, that's holy time. So when I'm in this, where I stand is holy ground, and I'm remembering myself in the moment now, and I encounter my housemate. And in that place, I can, what the work tells us, externally consider. And what that means, and please read about it because I'm going to, you know, do the Cliff Note version, is that I am aware of myself in my body. And as a work student, our aim is to be three-centered. I'm aware of that. And I look at my friend and I have a thought that what is her experience in this moment right now with me? And I kind of look back at myself from her. And in the diagrams, when you read about this, there's arrows going both ways. All right. So this started with one person self-remembering. Now becomes another wonderful thing is where two or more are gathered. You see, so now I've got a work friend, or it doesn't even matter. We're the work people, so we do the work. And now I've got another person aligned in self-remembering. And I've expanded the feeling of time. Okay, so then what I did was I looked up convergence. because I've got a lazy way of saying, yeah, I know what convergence is. And Peter's just got me looking at the Greek and the all the different words and their meanings. And one of them, and I think this is, I was never, you're not supposed to do this, but they said the process of converging. And that didn't give me anything. And then the second one is the tendency of unrelated animal and plants to evolve. Okay. I'm liking that one. And then three, it said, a location where airflow or ocean currents meet. This is really interesting. I'm thinking, So there's different ways and different levels, and we talk about scale, but let's just feel what I just read there. Now, I found out too late in my life that if I were to choose again about what I might study in life, I am just, I love the study of semiotics. And the semiotics is a study of signs and symbols. And you can actually get a degree in it. Semiotics looks at everything for meaning, okay? And so there's an idea now. I've got a conscious person. I have an idea that if there's a convergence, I want to be present for it. And wherever I'm present for it is where I grow. So I'm now thinking, okay, there's a convergence. There's a potential convergence at all times. And as a study of signs, I want to be looking for signs, okay? I don't want to be looking down. I don't want to be asleep when they come, but I want to be aware of signs and symbols and meaning that is coming to me on other levels and in living time. So when our beautiful curriculum came, it talked first about convergence and waking up. And we walk around, I don't even think actively thinking we're awake, but assuming we're awake. And what the work tells us is that we're psychologically asleep. And I'd like to tell you a little recap out of a book that Maurice Nicol wrote before he started the work. And I believe it's called Dream Something. And the story in this was Maurice Nicol was a Harley Street psychiatrist. And he was asked to go to Mesopotamia, which I believe is Iran. I might be wrong, it might be Iraq, and observe men in the desert waiting for war. So he was, you know, encamped with them, observing them, talking to them, counseling them, and they waited a long time. And I don't believe, as I recall in the book, that they ever met war, but they were always thinking about it. And they were always wondering, when is the war coming? While the sand flies are biting them and everything is just doesn't look like anything from where anyone's from. And Maurice Nicol's observation, one of his observations was that he watched men age before his eyes when they started to look back in time, thinking that that was the better part of life. They grayed before him. He said that they started, you know, acting old and having just a lot of negative, you know, he didn't speak in the words that we speak, but negative emotions at the time. And so I think about the founding minister, Tim Cook. He would always tell us how, as a work student, we are behind a set of bars looking out of a prison. That if we step back, we would find out has no back wall. We push into life. I push into sequence. I push into, you know, day to day to day. Now, if I'm back in my body, self-remembering, aware that this is where the elasticity happens with time. Then we go into third force, convergence and third force. And the beauty of third force, which is the law of three, you know, where God touched and then the energy went out and completed itself, manifestation, third force. We learn about reconciling force in this place. And this is also where forgiveness can become a really powerful thing. And I would like to read a little bit right now. And this is Living Time by Maurice Nicol. And this is the book, folks. So, let's see here. Let's start here. Okay, so we're going to go back to Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes, which, as regards the early chapters, is a book about time, the writer sees all that happens coming out of the dimensions of time. He says, to all things, time, and to every event under the sun, season. Season brings war and peace, birth and death, finding and losing. He must mean that the quality of time is different from day to day. Events lie in time, and as we reach them, they determine the issue of things like magnetic fields. According to the event and season, so will things tend to fall out. Now we do not see life from this standpoint. We think man creates events. It means that there are tendencies in things that vary from time to time, and that therefore something in the nature of a law of synchronicity is probable. In other words, similar things tend to happen together. Nothing can happen unless the event is present. Ecclesiastes draws a picture of a man as under the dominion of time. And for him, time is not a nothingness, a void, but a structure of events of opposite character through which man is passing. In the first three chapters, well, he's talking about, you know, Ecclesiastes. In the first three chapters, he speaks of time, of the recurrence of things, and in an obscure passage refers to eternity in a man's heart. So, where I stand is holy ground. I remember myself again. I feel the sensation of myself sitting in the room. And I expand my consciousness to include all the other people in this container. Our lives are extended through a minute portion of it. In this world, in time, nothing can perish. Passing time makes things seem to perish, to pass away. So while we've got the manifesting and the third force, we're also aware that the law of seven exists, the law of, you know, just working it out, the law of 142857 that adds the movement and the beauty all contained within the circle of one. When we talked about Babette's feast and General Lowenstein's speech, which is an extraordinary speech. And for those of you that have never seen the movie, it was filmed in black and white in the bleakest place on earth. I don't even know where it could have been. And no hope, everybody's dressed in black and white and it's gray. And Babette, the French woman, uses all the money she has to create a feast. And she fills it with love and passion. And I believe that she was in living time because she infused the food with impressions that transformed the people that ate it. And so as they sat down to this feast of food that they had never seen before, I mean, it's a French woman cooking, right? The movie began to be colored and people's faces started to turn pink. And life came to the table and smiles on faces that had been so bleak. And it's such a beautiful example of living time and how the impressions of one person in living time, in her body, in love, can transform others. And it's extraordinary what can happen if I am in my body and I know in this moment that past, present, and future are like this, not like this. That when the work tells us, and it does tell us this, that the work heals the past. Okay, for years I saw that in a line and okay, it's healing my past. But what I know now, and I'll share a story in just a moment with you, what I know now about this is the convergence of so many things that have happened to wake me up, to bring me to the place of wondering for years and years and years about Chief Feature. This is kind of a can of worms, actually, Chief Feature. It takes many, 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 many years to learn your Chief Feature. So I wouldn't waste a whole lot of time, read about it. And just after a period of time, you start to see the recurrence. And in the recurrence, there's a taste. And in that taste, there may be an action. In that, you might be able to start putting a little puzzle together. And finally, one day, know, oh my, that's my Chief Feature. So I wanted to kind of throw that in because it was brought up in our group and tonight. So I would like to tell a story about convergence. And I have to be very, very concise. It is my wish to be concise. So around the time before the ice storm came, I was feeling pretty good about lots of things, technology being one of them, which should have tipped me off. And so I decided one day that I was going to switch all of my pharmacy, you know, my medications to another pharmacy and get a new phone carrier. All right. And it started out really, really well. And I felt so empowered. As a result of these two actions, I was off some very important medication for 9 days. I was also did not have a phone for 5 of those days. And then the ice storm hit. Okay, got a lot of convergences happening here. Breaking, cracking, you all went through it. And so that pushed me getting any medication that I needed down until we could leave the house. So this medication has to do with my mental health. And I have found out since then that by stopping taking that medication that I could have, in fact, had a much more difficult time than I did. And but what happened was this combination of eyes, and I call them pinchy, because it's a real pinchy energy. And what it is, and I've had enough force and enough health to keep this at bay, but during this time, it came out. My son, when I went to see my son, he opened the door and went, "Oh, I haven't seen you for a while." You know, he knew just by looking at me. And so I am getting feedback from the people I love. My best friend told me a number of times that I was just being mean. My housemate came in to say goodnight to me one night when I was watching Journey School, and I just looked at her like, drop dead, because you interrupted me listening to Journey School. And I saw and I tasted and I observed this eye, or this, I would believe, a number of eyes for days. And I called it pinchy because I don't want to give it any more credit than it's due. But it's what has kept people away from me when I don't want them to see something. And I realized in that moment, and these are hard, hard moments, but if you can ever get totally humiliated, it really goes a long way in the work. I was so humiliated by the way I was acting. I'm here, I'm a Journey School student, and such an amazing human being. Oh my heavens. I was taken down, so I observe every day. And what this is in the work, it's called rolling the bitter pill. And it sounds as bad as it is. It just depends whatever you're using. So I'm putting all of this, you should know not to talk to me right now. I'm watching the Journey School. Or just get out of my way. You're doing it too slow. All these different things I'm observing. And I'm rolling them into a pill. Okay? And you don't get to take a little pill. That doesn't work. So I roll it into a big pill. And then I eat it, because a work student eats and transforms. And I cannot tell you all, now I'm totally back and level and great phone service and the whole thing. But without one of those things, I don't think I would have seen what I saw. And I've always been a nice person. I've always been funny, and I love being with people. But there was a part of me that was, real touchy. And so in speaking of this convergence now, I have distance on it. Pinchy is not nearly as powerful as it was. And I say it. I don't give it any credit for doing anything but damage in this way. So we don't want to, I've got one that I call repeat repeater, and it's an eye that just repeats stuff. And people start to look at you and like, you've already said that twice. So these eyes, I play with them. And if you play with them in the moment, again, here we are lined up. Am I sensing myself in the chair? Am I present in this moment? And somehow, by digesting my unpleasant manifestation and realizing that people have put up with me for years and loved me. And that's what took me down. And I am so nice now. I'm so much nicer than I've ever been. But it's real. It's real. And my housemate is feeling it. My family is feeling it. There was just a hardness that got broken in that convergence. So this work, if you do feed it, will feed you. And anything you take in the moment, in living time, in the presence of God, is transformed. And we're the toughest customer when it comes to forgiving ourselves. One more thing, and I'd like to open it up for a goodly time to share, is that Carly, in group this week, when part of our assignment was to look at how we treat time, and I thought, treat time? I'd never really thought about it that way. And Carly brought up that, you know, we're really bad on time. You know, we waste it, we deny it, we misunderstand it. We give ourselves three dimensions and then kind of go into the four. But we're work students, we're vertical. We have the ray of creation running up our spine. This is the moment. This is the moment. And all that we're ever, really, the worst thing that's ever said to us is, okay, Mimi, you kind of fell asleep. And yeah, you're being kind of hard on yourself. I've seen that about you since you were probably 25. And now you're seeing it, you know? And so be a fool for the work and talk the work and constantly be in the body. If you have pain, pain's great for being in your body. But whatever you have to do to be in your body, that's the only time. Oh, yeah, that's the only time. That's a good way to transition into you sharing, or I would endeavor to answer any questions if I can. Oh, Cammie.
Mimi, I just want to say thank you for sharing for such a tender story and really opening up something that's so, that I'm sure so many of us are vulnerable to at times. So thank you for that. And to bring my last week's work, which I shared earlier, into tonight's topic, my work on the working with self-observation and trying to recognize security, esteem, and power. I had some work experiences that were great fruit for that self-observation. And I had a convergence. So this was fun for me to hear this topic tonight, because after I was leading a retreat, and I know that kind of work makes me very vulnerable to those, to that draining of force of security and esteem and power. And so I had it on my mind and I was taking it into my prayer. It was my aim to observe and through service to other to help dampen the tendency.
Yeah.
And I got through Friday and I got through Saturday and it was going well, but I can still tend to have a self-critical mind and recognize those times that I had, you know, slipped and fallen asleep. And, but when I went to bed that night, and I'm in the North, you see, I'm wearing a hat. It's cold.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in Wisconsin near Lake Superior, and yet my room was warm. And I opened the window, and I was in my three centers and I heard an owl hoot. And close to the Ojibwa people up here, there's been conversations about the presence of an owl hooting can announce the coming of a death. And my husband's had that experience with the passing of his mother. He heard an owl. And at first, the first thought was, oh goodness, you know, that's an unwelcome sound. But when I let it sit, I did not have the sense of impending doom, but what the moment brought to me was this convergence of Cami pause and celebrate where I was able to die to self in this aim that I'd been working on. And that was the death that I was blessed to be invited to turn off the critical eye and to just savor this convergence of waking up to nature, being with me, having the hoot of the owl to say, how did you satisfy your aim today?
Yeah.
So I went to bed that night and just really allowed myself to see those things and rest very well.
That's beautiful. You know, and I go back to the study of semiotics and, you know, looking and listening and, you know, easily could have missed that, you know, by just zoning out on TV or some of the things we do. I'm not bad for it, but I miss the owl. I don't want to miss any owls. I don't have that many days left. Well, I don't have many decades left. Let's say that. I have lots of days. But so thank you. That's beautiful. Stay warm. Lauren, hi.
Well, first of all, I want to say to you that you've always been so smart. I mean, brilliant in my world, in your work language explanations and understanding. But today, I felt a warmth I haven't ever felt from you. I concur. I feel the convergence of warmth.
I know. It's real.
It's real. It is real. It's real for me. And I, so that's the first thing. And I was going to just tell you privately, but I thought I would like to go on record because it's wonderful to feel that warmth, Amy, along with all the erudite things that you know. So convergence happened. I was on the retreat with Peter. And without making a huge story of it, it was too short for me. And I mean, I was getting so much out of it, I thought. And so I went to bed that night, the last night, and I couldn't sleep. And I'm not sure which owl hooted in my, which of my many eyes have owls. But what I think it happened is that one of the pieces of my chief feature battered me and wouldn't let me go. And so I came back, I decided after listening for the 50, I mean, it just kept coming around. You've got to do this. You've got to do this. And so I came back and did it. And what happened was it felt like that there was a gift. And even though it was too short in my world, the Cedar Break has just got so much to offer us. I wanted more. And but it happened in a way that didn't let me go. And I don't know whether it's like missing those pills for you, but something happened in that evening and in my sleep, which was not sleep, that woke. It was odd that I was asleep kind of, but I woke up and then was able to do something when I got back. And I ended up so grateful. So there, I'm grateful for you too.
I'm grateful for you. Thank you for your love. Andrew, oh, hi. Oh, you're Jim's brother.
I am, yes.
How do you do?
I'm good. Thank you. So I just wanted to just share that I appreciated your aim that you shared. I think it was where my feet are grounded is holy ground. Basically at the start of Lent, I had what felt like a pretty profound dream that I felt should guide my Lenten intention. But basically in the dream, I was talking to somebody and the person basically asked me the question, how do you feel when you look somebody in the eyes? And I didn't really have a response. And then the person went on to say that you should feel the emotion of love when you're looking somebody in the eyes. And I was kind of taking it as my unconscious kind of bringing something kind of to the surface a little bit. And I recognize that a lot of times when I'm with people, I'm feeling fear and a lot of like social anxiety, and it's kind of related to time and worrying about a potential future rejection or not being accepted. And I was, it felt like that should be related to my aim. And so I guess that kind of helped me see that I think my intention is really about seeing when you're with somebody that, you know, you're basically looking at the divine and treating all those moments as sacred. And that was helpful for me. Thank you.
Well, and that's being, you know, God's eyes, God's ears, God's mouth, God's body. And if I'm in my body and conscious of this holy space and look in another's eyes, it might be someone that's behind the counter at the store. Something happens. We light up places that we go and people we see. What's the common denominator? Us and lighting up. So we've got this wonderful place in this campus that we can try this on and ask for help, ask for understanding, because all I want is to meet someone like you in a day when I might have forgotten myself and you remembered and looked at me and I remembered. So good to meet you.
Likewise, thank you.
Thank you. Lisa. This will be our last. Hi.
Hello, everyone. Wow, what a wonderful class. Thank you for your presence. See if I can say this efficiently. My experience of time has just been so profound and rich with this topic, and I look forward to studying it again next year and the year after that and year after that, because it's so complex. But what I wanted to share was something I shared with my work partner this morning that related to cause, effect, and cause around time. I was externally considering a 10-month-old baby who was in his high chair, and he had my absolute 100% attention, and he can't feed himself yet. So I was feeding him all different flavors of food. And this went on for like 25 minutes. He was like just a food machine. He just was nonstop, but the different flavors, he was making different facial expressions and grunts. Sometimes he would spit it out and take it back in. And I was so engrossed with his being. It's like there was no time. And at one point, I felt my heart just crack wide open. And what came to me was my very first work partner used to tell me a work aphorism, which was, I owe you everything, you owe me nothing. And at the time I thought it was very cliche because I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And I was journaling the next morning about that experience with that baby. And I realized that my work partner was practicing cause, effect, and cause. Mm. Her aim was changing her future time because of her current aim.
Mm-hmm.
So in the moment this morning journaling, I realized, now I get it. I owe you everything. You owe me nothing. When I'm totally present and externally considering and self-remembering, it was just a powerful experience. And being able to link it with recent homework and then a work partner 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like I felt so grateful that it finally was like a metanoia, you know, change in my thinking. So I wanted to share that. And now I can't wait to find out more about convergence as we're speaking. This is so exciting.
Keep your eyes, ears, nose, mouth, everything open. Thank you all. There's just one last thing I'd like to say is that when we study the tarot, meditations on the tarot, Cynthia Bergeau calls the meditations on the tarot the arcanum contained within that book, the great chain of being. And that's what I feel like this group is. They were a chain that's connected from person to person. When I can't remember, you will. And we help each other along the way. Thank you so much. And have a lovely, lovely, lovely day tomorrow and evening. Marianne?
Thank you, Mimi, so much. That's the essence of convergence of many things. And I love ending with Lisa's story because the work comes to meet you, the threads of your work yesterday, today, and tomorrow, it's all there. And it comes to meet you in wondrous ways. Thank you, Mimi. So many wonderful stories. And there could be, we could stay up all night exchanging them with great gratitude for each of us here. It's not by accident. So we close this night praying aloud and joyously, affirming the truth of it, the prayer of God's love, that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed I am to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, while we are awake. Watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in Christ's peace. Amen.